Welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, brought to you by People's Choice Video Express. People's Choice Video, rent, buy, sell, trade in, videos, DVDs, video games, adult films. You got it, you want it, they got it, they want it, just do it.
Cool.
Also, Lucha the Video Store Dog. Lucha the Video Store Dog on Instagram. She's cute.
Yeah, now available for rent. Lucha the Video Store Dog. Hey, I'll make some money off of this dog.
Hell
super
yeah.
Super huggable.
All right. Money time.
The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes they're friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Welcome back. It's EG Sites.
Francisco Landian here.
It's Blockbuster Nostalgia. We're the movie podcast countdown, the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one.
We are down to the final four, but before we get to the final four, we're going back and talking about all the other movies that we've already talked about.
You know the deal by now. We're hitting them. We're doing fast little snippets of random thought.
Yeah, this was before we were in the studio, first of all.
Although at this point, we're starting to get good. We're starting to get good at this point, I think.
Yeah, we're at the halfway point. We're starting to get a little bit better.
A little bit better.
These are the good years. I mean,
until the very dark times.
Yeah, until the dark ages. Yeah. There's always, and then the Renaissance.
That's right, the Renaissance, which is yet to come, but it'll come.
We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there eventually. We're
still fighting the plague and shit.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, the plague was way after.
I mean, we have had five guest hosts die from disease.
Yeah.
So...
Those pesky yellow fever.
Yeah. Coronavirus, to date the episode very heavily. Yeah,
to completely the coronavirus is not going to be a thing in two
in
weeks.
2 weeks, no.
And then that's it. People forgot about that shit.
And I don't know, Dos Equis, et cetera, jokes everyone's made. Yeah. So
sure.
We're going to start off today's episode with...
Wait, let's talk about... We usually count down the movies, but we're down to the final four movies. Right. But right now, also, stay tuned for the final four. They're going to be big episodes. We're going to make a huge deal about them.
Yeah, we're going... And then
after that, we're going to do some wish list episodes. So all those movies that you really love that we didn't get to cover, like Goonies and stuff like that.
That's right. Goonies, definitely we're going to have to cover. There's a few others that are our personal favorites, and then we're leaving a few spots open. So
if you have any ideas.
Yeah, if there's an 80s movie that you're like, oh, I got...
Talk about this shit.
I got to hear you guys talk about this
one. Send us an email at...
BlockbusterNostalgia@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram.
Also, for real, follow our Instagram. It's great.
Yeah, our Instagram. I work very hard on that.
Yeah, he does.
So, episode 57 was Steven Spielberg. It was Whoopi Goldberg. It was Danny Glover.
All right. So when you're talking about the 80s and you're talking about a Steven Spielberg movie,
right? So obviously,
this is the first one that you think about.
Yeah,
the
first 80s Steven Spielberg movie you think about. And when you're thinking about influential movies about black people, you think Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg. Yeah. Yeah. You think one well-to-do Jewish man from the 70s,
very African American friendly Steven Spielberg, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's the color
purple.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we talked about it in the episode. He did not want to do it, but then his good friend Quincy Jones talked him into it. Yeah. Because he understood what it is to be like an outsider and stuff. And he's also a brilliant filmmaker at the time.
Right.
He's still pretty good.
Still pretty good.
But at the time.
At the time, he was one of the top of the tops.
This is a movie. All right. So if you listen to the last episode, we talked about Out of Africa, the movie that swept the Academy Awards that year. This was the other movie that was nominated for...
Almost 11 Academy Awards.
Yeah. 11 Academy Awards. No. 1-0. Not a single one. If you know all about all the stuff that year that, you know, Stallone was nominated for Creed, but not anybody else in Creed. Or like, you know, that year that everybody was like...
Totally fair, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Stallone's the best.
Stallone's the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
But the year that everybody was like, dude, didn't nominate enough like African-American directors, writers, and all
you
that
mean
stuff.
Every year?
Every year.
Yeah.
This is a year where the Academy was like, all right, we're looking at socially what's going on.
Right.
We have to start acknowledging African-American directors, writers, actors, and stuff like that. How do we do that? Let's give all the Academy Awards to Out of Africa, the movie about Meryl Streep being a rich lady in Africa. And that's it.
Yep.
Let's also nominate Color Purple and give them zero awards.
Zero awards.
Oh, my God. This movie is fucking great.
Oh, it's very good.
We talked about this movie. But I think it was the first time that we had sat down and, like, this is the first time that I had sat down and watched the entire movie.
That's right. Me too, actually. Yeah. But this is also the movie that now Whoopi Goldberg, despite...
Yeah, this is
let's just say the last 20 years of Whoopi have not been exactly the most artistically fulfilling.
Whoopi Goldberg explodes on the scene on this movie.
Yeah.
She's amazing in it.
She's really good.
Really good. An amazing dramatic role. An Oscar-nominated role.
Yep.
And then she's like, what do I do after this? I don't know. Theodore Rex? Yep. And then maybe like Sister I'm playing Act. Basketball in a movie?
I'm a coach.
And she squanders.
Yeah, she does.
The
and then she just goes on acting. The View and it like talks with other shitty
and
people
now,
about dumb shit. I swear, every time The View's on when I'm at the gym, I'm just like, what the fuck?
What are you talking about, Whoopi Goldberg? Shit.
Jesus Christ, you were there. You
Oscar
were here.
Nominated.
You were doing stand-up. You were fucking nominated for Oscars.
It's like if my generation-wise, it's like if Leonardo DiCaprio exploded out in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Right.
It's nominated for an Academy Award.
Then maybe does a couple other movies. Does Titanic. Does like The Beach or something. And then immediately
he's just doing like the live action of like fucking old Hanna-Barbera cartoons and shit like that.
He's just in the Flintstones.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then he's just making garbage.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg squandered away her talent immediately
Seriously.
After this movie.
You were nominated for Academy Awards. You had a Ted Danson.
Yeah, Ted Danson. Oh, my God. Yes. Karina.
Ted Danson.
It also had Oprah.
Oh, that's right.
Oprah also nominated. And the best fucking performance in this movie.
Now, look, we all know Oprah is the richest woman in the world and all that.
We all know
shit.
Oprah is the most influential woman.
And the most influential, and that's great. But she was actually good.
She's fucking great in this movie.
Yeah.
And she's a character that's a catalyst
for everything.
For everything. And
I mean, not everything, but a lot.
For representation for all the misdeeds and what it was to stand up to people back then.
Yeah, she was standing up to the man.
Yeah. And she's the best. She's a character that you look up to the most.
That's right. And then immediately after this, she started a daytime talk show where it was all like, is your brother your husband's wife's father?
I mean, eventually it came back
It came back around. And then
we got that cool meme about the bees, which is cool. Look it up.
This is also an episode that... I'm not a huge fan of, because every time we talk about a very serious and very good movie, I feel like we don't joke as much about. You love this episode.
Yeah, that's true. I like this episode.
You think this episode is very good.
It's a great episode.
I mean, it's a great movie.
But I think...
come on. We're always great, though,
we're
right?
Insightful. We're funny. Yeah. Unlike some of the episodes lately.
Where we're just neither of those things?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's
fair. We've had a lot of fist fights lately on air. It's also funny because we're not live on air, but we still put it in.
Yeah. Oh no, we leave it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give the people the real, the real shit.
Listen to the last couple episodes, and at least twice, you hear a lot of like off mic yelling and a lot of this sound.
That's right.
Where it's just we're just fighting each other.
You hear a few barking from Lucha the Video Star Dog. Our
sponsor.
Yeah.
She doesn't like us fighting, but no. We fight it out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also, it's a very tight space. So we're not actually fighting it out. It's just a lot of like wrestling fighting.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
Yeah, but very straight and manly.
Very straight and manly.
Yeah, I want to reiterate that. Very straight and manly.
Very straight and manly, and our child Lucha does not like it.
No, don't say our child, first of all. that implies some stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, obviously neither one of us really wants to hurt each other.
No.
So it's a lot of grabbing and a lot of just like pushing.
Yeah, a lot of each of us trying to get the other one to the ground.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and just dominating one another on the ground.
You know what I remember from Color Purple?
No, go ahead.
There's a scene where... It's that dude. He can't get Oprah's husband.
Right.
Can't get her to fall in line.
And beats the shit out of her.
No, he tells Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, that's right. She tells her.
And she tells him like, you have to beat the hell out of her, and then she'll fall in line.
That's right.
And then she beats the fuck out of him, which is great.
It's really funny.
Yeah. Also, they end up opening up a fucking speakeasy on the swamp,
right. And they have an awesome blues,
which
songs.
Is all I fucking want all
so
the time.
Good.
I will move to Mississippi. I will not
just
move to Mississippi.
That,
but
no, definitely
dude,
not.
Dude, no, definitely. This theoretical, I will never, ever move to Mississippi.
But if I were.
But if I were,
It would be because of the
poker shack in the swamp.
Mississippi poker shack / speakeasy.
On the swamp.
With awesome live blues.
Yeah, it's all I've ever wanted.
So that brings us to, oh boy, guys. So we've talked about some dance movies on this here podcast.
We have.
Talked about Dirty Dancing.
Talked about Dirty Dancing. We talked about Footloose.
Footloose. Talked about Staying Alive. Staying Alive, very bad movie.
Very bad movie. You know what? I think that Staying Alive, possibly the low point, unless you got something lower than that.
I don't know how I possibly could unless we were talking about Flashdance.
Flashdance.
So
hate this fucking movie.
So Staying Alive is a movie that has 20 minutes of movie at the beginning and then an hour of shitty dance montage.
1980s shitty dance montage.
Somehow it is better than Flashdance.
Well, Flashdance has 2 minutes of plot.
That's right. And then
90 minutes of shitty
music videos.
Shitty music videos. Oh my God. All right. Before you get any ideas,
so
about
you're gonna be angry.
Two straight dudes talking about Flashdance. Emma was with us.
Emma was on this episode. She agreed 130%.
She hated it just as much.
She hated it a lot.
Yeah. Listen to the opening. The opening's pretty good. It's really good. Yeah. First of all, the jokes that came up for the opening are really good.
Some of my favorite opening jokes.
Yeah. One of which was Emma saying, "This is the movie where this movie is a piece of shit."
That's right.
It's pretty good. This movie is early MTV style videos.
Yep.
Cut together, nominated for like 4 Academy Awards.
It's unbelievable.
For like best, it was like best costume, best song. It's a garbage song, first of all.
I get it. Look, I get that this movie has somehow entered the collective consciousness, the unus mindus, as a psychologist would say. It's fucking garbage. I don't care how many J-Lo's shaking her ass to represent this. This movie fucking sucks. So, first of all, this movie has no very, very little plot, as you mentioned.
Yes.
It's basically just music videos tied together. But what little tied together, like, fucking strings
like
of plot.
Not just regular music videos, but like almost like exercise videos.
Yeah, no, this is
like
fucking
really bad, shitty 80s exercise videos.
Bullshit.
So bad. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
And the interconnectivity, you're like, well, but it's a lady movie, right? And you're a fucking dude, so, you know, lady movie stuff. Fair enough. And I'm sure what ladies want to see is their dickhead boss hitting on them, telling them that they might fire them if they don't go out with them on a date. And then also being much, much older, BT-dub.
Like the creepy, a
like
creepy level
creepy
of
amount
older.
Of older. Yeah. And then eventually sleeping with them, and then that relationship falling apart, but then them dancing and fucking again.
Yeah, that's what that fucking movie's about. Even if you're talking about female empowerment, no, out the window.
And out the
because
fucking window.
She ends up fucking that old man again.
That's right.
If this is one of those movies where you're like, well, when you talk about like people who are, you know, like trans or homosexual or stuff can look up to that. No, John Waters was strong at this point. And that's what you could go to because he had an idea plot.
We already had Rocky Horror Picture Show.
We already had Rocky Horror Picture Show. They have plots and camp and everything that you need. This movie is garbage.
It's a fucking garbage movie.
Oh, my God. No, it's we hate it. This has got to be the worst one, I think.
It's up there. This is a top three most hated for me.
It's like Mount Rushmore hated. Cocktail.
Cocktail.
And probably Staying Alive.
Staying Alive's up there, too. Man.
Yeah. They're so bad. Private Benjamin is bad, but it had some funny stuff in it.
Private Benjamin's still better than this movie.
Yeah, it's better than this movie. Flashdance, I don't know why people like this movie.
I don't know why. It doesn't even have flashing.
No, yeah, no, it doesn't.
It does have dancing.
It has that, and I kind of understand what Flashdancing is, but it's not really a thing.
Exactly. So Flashdance, the whole idea of Flashdance, It's like, all right, we're gonna do this dance, and I'm in this huge costume, and it's a sexy dance, and there's dudes. It's a bar full of dudes.
Yeah.
All right. So imagine this in your mind, because I'm just so fucking angry.
You're a strong
right
'80s.
I'm so fucking angry right now. But you're an '80s businessman.
You're like channeling back to when we recorded this episode. You were so angry back then.
It fills me with rage.
And it's been 2 years.
It's been two years.
As soon as we start talking about it.
So you're just a guy, right? You're just a guy in 1987 or whatever the fuck this fucking piece of fuck
came out. I mean, obviously I'm a guy in 1987.
Right. You're a guy in 1987. You're like, hey, I want to go see some sexy ladies dancing. Let me go down to this place, right? All right, I'm going down to this place. I'm going to get myself a nice beer. I'm going to chill. nice place, right? So it's going to send girls out. Probably going to be like naked or something. No, yeah. They're not going to be naked. They're going to be in ridiculous fucking stupid outfits. They're going to do,
again, like exercise video outfits.
Yeah. Fucking 20-minute songs of them dancing around doing fuck nothing and doing like interpretive dance shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to give them all my money for some reason. And that's the entire goddamn movie.
I don't understand. Well, I think I talked about this a little bit when me and you were talking about Cats, the musical.
Oh, right.
And this is one of those things where back in the 80s, if you were just like a salesman in Indiana, you would be like, let's go watch something different and fancy. And then you watch this movie, and then you're like, why did we watch this fucking thing? That's what like, Cats was like.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's a lot of people leaving Cats in 1988 that were from Indiana that were just like, I spent $100 on that?
What the fuck just happened? Exactly. And then you're like, I guess the wife liked it, I guess, but I'm very upset about it.
I'm very upset about it. If I don't at least get a blowjob out of this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Flashdance, awful. Terrible.
Flashdance is awful.
Terrible. I do, on record, I would say this is the worst movie that we've talked about so far.
It's fucking terrible.
It's one that I hate, that I like the least.
It really pissed me off. Yeah. Then we go to Dudley Moore, who was a giant, giant star from about like 1975 to like, I don't know, 1982, maybe?
Yeah.
It's Arthur.
Arthur. All right. So
this is a movie so good, so popular, they remade it.
Yeah, with good old, you know,
that guy. Russell Brand.
Yeah. Well, I actually really like Russell Brand.
I do like Russell Brand too, actually.
We were talking about it earlier, and then I was going through the list, and I was like, we did Arthur?
That's right.
And then you were like, you don't remember? And I was like, no.
And I thought that was very funny because Arthur is a movie about an alcoholic.
And the probability that I just forgot because I drank too much, pretty high.
Pretty high.
This is a peak drunk Francisco moment.
This peak drunk Francisco. So Arthur is a movie about a very drunk, very just insanely wealthy man.
Insanely wealthy 5'1" man.
5'1" Englishman.
He is a tiny fucking little British dude.
He is a tiny, tiny man. Everyone loved him. He was hilarious. He's in 10 with
Bo Derek,
that's right. With dreadlocks for some reason.
Because, you know, sexy Bo Derek song.
Ugh, I don't know.
Because they were like, what else do black people got that we really want? I'm going to do the fucking cornrows.
I guess.
Yeah, we'll cornrow
it in.
Yeah. Also, this is a movie where, all right. There's a lot of things with this movie.
There's a lot of things with this movie.
First of all.
So, Dudley Moore is worth like $1 billion.
5'1" alcoholic Dudley Moore, sex symbol, number one.
Well, he's worth $1 billion, Francisco. Okay.
But also, he falls in love with one female Ringo star, Liza Minnelli, who in the episode we refer to as a walking Necronomicon, because we are vicious in this episode.
Wow, that's harsh.
We really tear into Liza Minnelli.
We do.
Listen, it's shitty.
She's very talented.
She's very talented. She is. But our personal preference, if we look at Liza Minnelli,
you know,
I don't see Arthur giving up all his millions for Liza
Minnelli.
But that's exactly what he does in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, but he doesn't though.
No,
thing.
You're right. It's a thing.
And in the end, he gives up nothing, gets the girl, keeps the money.
I assume
divorces her a year later because he realizes it's Liza Minnelli.
And it's not a 20-year-old co-ed?
Yeah.
That will also fuck him?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look, I get it. The whole idea is like, hey, he's rich. He's had any girl he wanted. He's seen all the sluts and the bimbos
stuff. It's not that, though.
It's not that because
the movie never does like Liza
Minnelli. It never establishes the like, oh, I'm tired.
Personality.
Exactly.
It's never like, well, Liza Minnelli is just a person, but there's something about her personality. And then he falls for her.
Right.
No, he sees her and
immediately
he falls in love
with. She's stealing a thing.
Yeah.
Which I guess it's the bad girl thing.
But still, though, it's not even that. It's just like he sees her.
He's just Caesar, yeah.
He looks over. He sees one fleshy female gonzo from the
that's
Muppets.
Right.
And then he's like, that's what I want.
That's right. Well, it's every Muppet skit where the host immediately falls in love with Miss Piggy.
Yeah, exactly. Who's just a felt pig.
He's like, I have to have you, Miss
yeah,
Piggy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
leave
he,
Kermit
Hugh
for
Jackman
me. Yeah.
Nowadays. Yeah. Goes on the Muppet Show and immediately falls in love with a felt pig.
That's right.
That's Miss Piggy. That is the best
That's
example
exactly what it is.
That I could think of.
Oh, shit. Oh, we nailed it.
Yeah. This is that's that. It's stretching. And it's because Liza Minnelli was huge at the time
because
of Cabaret.
Because of Cabaret, yeah.
Dudley Moore is huge at the time because 1970s people like to drink.
Yep.
I don't know why. Why was Dudley Moore so big?
I don't know.
I don't
English,
know why he
English
was
comedy.
British comedy.
British
I mean,
comedy, they were like, Monty Python's not a person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess we'll just I need Dudley Moore.
Like, I like Monty Python, but I want it to be one guy. And then like
who's much less talented much, than any of
than
them.
Than any
yeah.
of them. But he drinks. So he's
he
funny.
Drinks.
It's all right.
And he's tiny.
And he's yeah, yeah.
John Cleese is too intimidating. That guy's like 6'4".
Yeah, he's a giant, yeah. giant guy. But and funny. And we're like, not
Very
that.
Funny.
We don't want him to be that
no,
funny.
No, he's too funny.
And so there's animation in Monty Python. We don't
yeah,
like that.
We don't
it's
like
weird.
That. Terry Jones is actually American, I think. So no.
So it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. And then fucking Graham Chapman's dead now. So
yeah, I would like. Oh,
yeah.
I get sad at that.
Yeah.
One. But I would. I'd like my Monty Python to be tiny and an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
exactly what they did.
That's exactly.
I don't understand why Dudley Moore was so big.
It's weird. It's weird.
It
it's
is
a
weird.
70s thing.
It's again.
Because speaking of.
It goes back to like
10,
the Woody Allen thing.
And well, and the Woody Allen and people liking nebbish heroes for some reason. But yeah, going back to 10, that movie's boring as shit, dude.
10? Oh, yeah.
That movie.
They don't fucking do anything.
Fucking boring.
He's not even like drunk in that movie.
No.
At least in Arthur.
He's just unhappy.
Arthur.
It's like a BoJack Horseman episode with zero jokes.
Yeah, with no
and
jokes.
And zero, like.
No animal
BoJack.
Puns.
Yeah.
With zero animal puns and zero fucking BoJack.
And
it
also.
It did have some realistic alcoholism, I
oh,
remember.
Yeah. It did, actually. It was kind of sad.
It was. Yeah, there's parts in it where you're laughing and then you're like, oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like, he's an actual 5 foot one alcoholic.
Yeah. Whose only friend is his butler.
Yeah, and also the best butler to have ever fucking
best
lived.
Butler.
That guy's hilarious.
Sorry, Alfred. Take a step back.
Take a step back.
This
because
guy.
There's a scene where the butler walks in. It's like a prostitute that Dudley Moore picked up the night before. And the butler shreds her. Destroys her.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that episode. He, like, one after the other just fucking talks this chick down.
He fucking Jeff Rosses this
yeah,
chick.
Oh,
yeah,
so hard. But because he loves Dudley Moore.
He does.
Way more than I love Dudley Moore.
Way more. Yeah. But speaking of people I do love, I love Robin Williams. Robin Williams was nominated but did not win for the 1989, I want to say, classic.
Ish. Yeah.
Ish. It's Dead Poets Society.
Dead
this
Poets
is
Society. Yeah.
One of the all-time classics.
Yeah, this is a movie you were forced to watch in fucking writing class, creative
yep.
writing class in high school.
Yep. This is a movie you definitely watched at least twice in high school.
At least. And I feel like once in middle school, probably when you're in eighth grade.
Interestingly enough, Joe Biden's favorite movie.
Really?
Presidential nominee Joe Biden's favorite movie, yeah.
Wow. This is a movie, and going back to Joe Biden and to the opening bit on this movie, it's a movie that your teacher would show you when he was too hungover to teach you.
Which I assume
Joe Biden
many times.
Joe Biden too hungover to do anything.
Too hungover after every debate.
I'm very conflicted about Joe Biden because we talked about this before. It's like if Burt Reynolds was running for president.
Is it really? Did we talk about this?
No, we talked about Joe Biden is that guy that I'm like, it's like you're having a barbecue and he's coming over. And I'm like, oh, Burt Reynolds is coming over? Fuck yeah. Also, don't let him near my daughters. Joe Biden is that guy.
Right, yeah, because of the groping.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
of the groping,
like,
yeah.
Fuck yeah, he's a very charismatic, smart guy.
Yeah.
Don't let him near my daughters.
Don't let him near women, because... Yeah. Because he gropes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a groper.
He's not okay.
He's a bit hands-on. Not okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about Joe Biden. We're talking about Dead Poets Society.
That's right.
Dead Poets Society.
Oh, Captain My Captain.
Oh, Captain My Captain. Mm. Again, the movie that every creative writing teacher showed you at least once. Every PE teacher that also had to teach creative writing for one period.
That's right, yes.
Because we don't have enough money to pay for PE teachers.
Oh, no, fuck no.
That motherfucker would show you that and also make you read a separate piece, which is a garbage book. It's a pretty cool movie.
It's actually a very good movie. Robin Williams obviously is great, but you also have a cavalcade of great young actors.
Yeah. This was
Midsummer Night's Dream, which is a play I did in high school as well, so I felt like
so you totally connected.
That could have been the whole thing. And
did you look at your teacher and you're like, "How come you're not Robin Williams?"
I did.
Why are you not Robin Williams?
And I stood on a lot of desks
and did "Oh Captain, My Captain."
"Oh Captain, My Captain." No reaction.
This is also the movie that made me think that poetry was going to be cool in high school.
That's right.
Turns out poetry not cool in high school.
Not cool ever.
ever.
Really.
No, even
never cool.
Even in fancy high schools that your parents paid to send you to.
Not cool.
Poetry not the cool part. No, it's like the fucking weird sports. It's like the rugby team that's cool. Not the fucking poetry.
Oh, hey, I'm going to an Ivy League school. I don't have to worry about the football players or anything like
that. You 100% have to worry about
I'm just going to go in there hard with poetry. And then, oh, wait, the chicks still like the football players.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I'm in Harvard.
Exactly. Like, or the guy, or the like.
Or the lacrosse players.
Exactly.
The big asshole that drinks a lot.
And he has to wear a tie still, but he has it half undone the whole day. That's a pussy magnet.
Half undone guy, always.
He's riding a pussy train that's never going to derail that guy.
Nope. Here I am still wearing my sweater vest like a goddamn idiot.
yeah, like a fucking... And I thought poetry was going to make me popular. No, they hang out in a cave. And what do they do in a cave?
They freestyle, baby.
They freestyle poetry. Have a cave. Get some beer. Get some weed, man. That's Bring some chicks in.
No.
No.
Poetry, baby.
All it takes is one guy to have a car and a cave. Oh, my God.
Why do you think he commits suicide at the end? It's because all the chicks were like, "Oh, that's cool poetry. That dude has a convertible."
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
Like, have fun with your little poetry. And they say little poetry to just emasculate you way worse.
Exactly. It's not Red Foreman's fault. It's not the mom's fault.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just society's fault.
Well, I suppose. Or it's dirty, dirty whores.
Yeah. Robin Williams gets fired for teaching poetry, right?
Yeah. Well, and for, basically.
They were like smoking tobacco.
Well, it's because a kid killed himself.
Also not Robin Williams' fault.
Definitely not Robin Williams' fault.
Yeah, those students are garbage. They suck.
Yeah,
they all drop a dime on Robin Williams
and then they try and make up for it by the old Captain My Captain. It's like, motherfucker, I still lost my job.
He's like, I'm getting my shit and I gotta leave.
Like, this means nothing. I have no employment.
How great. You guys learned something while I have no fucking job now. Like, fuck you guys,
man. I'm on food stamps now, but thanks.
Yeah, you know how hard it is to get a fucking teacher job?
Yeah.
And then now I have to explain people what happened here where a kid killed himself?
That's right.
But can I tell them about you getting up on the desk? That's going to get me a fucking job.
Great. Yeah. It's going to be fucking great for me. When I'm living outside in fucking Boston in 11 degree fucking temperatures.
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, when I'm fucking Good Will Hunting out here.
When it's a prequel to Good Will Hunting.
It is, obviously.
Yeah, clearly it's a prequel to Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
He loses his job and then he becomes, a janitor or whatever. No, Matt Damon was a janitor.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually, I assume he became a janitor, then became a teacher.
Yeah.
Then saw himself in Matt Damon.
Obviously,
gave him the advice about the girl.
And now we have the Bourne movies.
That's
and all the Ben Affleck shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
So without Dead Poets Society, we get none of that.
We get none of that. And again, I feel like the Bourne movies have kind of died down.
Yeah.
They kind of, no one really cares that much about them.
Or Invictus, with Matt Damon.
Yeah, obviously. But the Bourne movies, they're still a thing. To go back to last episode, we go back to the Bourne movies. We bring Matt Damon in. We say, Matt, you got to bring it. You got to bring the Boston
accent.
It's like, I wicked don't remember what I was doing. Who am I? I don't know. But I know you're not better than me, Julia Stiles.
We've done a lot of accents on this show.
But we cannot, are as good as my Boston.
We cannot nail Boston.
We can't nail
we
Boston.
We can't nail Boston. And also, Boston is one of those accents that's actually very recognizable and very different from all other accents. We still can't nail it.
We can't nail it.
Yeah. We can say wicked a lot.
We can.
This is wicked strong. It's Providence. Providence, wicked strong. I guess we can do, like, you can do a Kennedy. That's, like, or,
Yeah. Very, like,
or, this not, is, yeah. This is,
Look, we're going to visit Boston. Visit Boston. We'll come back to it. We'll circle back.
If you're from Boston, send us an email telling us how much you hate us about the Boston accent.
Tell us about how you're going to kick our ass because you're not better. We're not better than you.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
If you're a Boston scumbag or just a Boston cool person.
I mean, you're a scumbag.
Yeah.
So anyway, episode 60, Parenthood, Steve
Martin.
We're
done with that post society. We're going to Parenthood.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Parenthood, Steve Martin, a bunch of other fucking people.
It's Keanu Reeves, Joaquin Phoenix, Rick Moranis, obviously... All the other cool people.
Yeah, it's tons of, I don't know, cowboys and shit. He dressed up like a cowboy at one point.
This is an episode where we watched it with Andrea.
That's right. So this episode, actually, I really do like the podcast because we watched it with Andrea. And then right as we were about to record, Vince, Andrea's husband,
showed up.
And we're like, hey, Vince, be on the podcast because you're a funny guy and we like you on the podcast. And Vince correctly predicted every single thing that happened in the movie never seeing the movie.
We're like, what do you think happens next? And he called it
every time.
Jason Robards is a dad. That's who it was. Jason Robards. Right. Yeah. I really like this movie. I like this movie quite a bit.
It's fine.
But this is a movie that it teaches you by the end that all you need to fix your marriages, because there's three marriages in this.
That's right.
All you need to fix them is more kids.
More kids.
The movie ends with everybody super happy
despite
with
the fact
babies.
That the entire movie is Steve Martin being very, not upset.
Like stressed out.
But stressed out, and just his life is destroyed by the fact that his kids are fucking
fuck-ups. They're terrible.
They're fucking pieces of garbage.
And he can't get... He can't get past it. He can't fix them.
He can't
fix
them.
He tries and he can't fix them. Same thing with Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis is trying really hard to make his daughter super smart, and it ruins his marriage.
Yep.
So what fixes all these marriages, my friends?
More kids. Just pile them on.
No. We all know. We know. As millennials,
yeah,
we know that kids do not fix anything. Yeah. No, we're still the cusp.
We're on the cusp.
But no, this is a movie, back in the 80s, that's what you needed. You just needed more kids to fix your marriage.
It's, God.
But it's a really good movie. I really like it. It's got an amazing amount of talent.
It's got a lot of talent. Rick Moranis is charming. Steve Martin is charming.
Steve Martin is great. It has that great bit where the power goes out and they're trying to find the flashlight and it's a dildo. It's funny. Yeah,
that's the vibrator. Funny, actually. Yeah. I guess part of the reason I have a hard time with this movie is this movie to me is the movie that told Steve Martin stop doing really funny things and start
do family
doing family things. And
like Father of the Bride.
God damn it. Yeah. You were so good, Steve Martin.
If you ever want to know, I think this movie really encapsulates the stress of being a parent. And it's one scene. And it's the scene where they're at the fucking party and the kid loses his retainer.
Oh, yeah.
And he flips out hardcore where he's yelling with the stupid high-pitched garbage little fucking kid voice. Mm. And then they're outside going through the fucking pizza place's garbage.
That's right.
Looking for that fucking retainer. And that's a thing that parents will do. They'll have to do.
They have to go through fucking garbage.
Yeah. Also, this podcast was for people who never had kids.
Yep. It's pretty funny, actually. Yeah.
It is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to what four people who have never had kids think about you fucking having kids. Yeah, exactly. Especially if you have kids.
Yep.
Go back and listen to it and think about what we think about you having kids.
And think about how we're fucking idiots.
Yeah. And think about how, how we're like, nope, not doing that shit because bullshit. But I still contest. It's a great movie full of a lot of really good talent. Well written, well directed. Also, Keanu Reeves teaching Joaquin Phoenix how to jerk off, or telling Joaquin Phoenix that it's okay to jerk off. You don't get that in many movies.
That's true.
Yeah. John Wick telling Joker
the Joker how to jerk off.
All right. Here's what happens in this movie.
John Wick
comforts the Joker about his jerking off.
If he had done that in real life, Batman not needed.
No, maybe the Joker doesn't shoot Robert De Niro in the face.
No, because he's too busy jerking.
Jerking
it.
Off because John Wick showed up and told him it was okay to do
and
that.
And look, if you've ever jerked it off a lot, and I know you have,
you know
that sometimes you're like, I should go do that thing, but
I could jerk off.
I could jerk off right now.
We've all been in a relationship where we have had no time off, and then you get one day off. And then you're like, I'm jerking off five times today.
That's fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the end, it's just a chore. Yeah. But you're like, I can get one more in.
Let me just try.
I just need that the smallest amount of endorphins into my brain. That's what parenthood is.
Yep. So speaking of that craziness and jerking off and being isolated.
Sure. Let's keep talking about that.
Stir crazy.
Stir
Which
crazy.
I imagine if you go to jail,
isolation, jerking
a lot
off,
of jerking off, true. Right?
All right, so we get to talk about Gene Wilder.
That's right.
We get to talk about
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor. Yeah. We get to talk about two of the funniest,
the
greatest comedians of all time.
Yeah,
one of the greatest stand-ups of all time, obviously, and one of the greatest comedic actors of all time.
Yep,
and it's a pretty good movie.
It's all right.
This is they go to jail. They get falsely accused for a bank robbery.
That's right. It's actually pretty funny.
It is pretty funny.
The way they get set up.
And then they go to jail where there's a rodeo.
There's a rodeo.
Prison rodeo. And you know, we were like...
The typical jail jokes about, you know, avoiding rape and all that shit.
There's a lot of rape jokes. It's funny.
It's funny.
Hey, was this the episode where I talked... I think it was before this where I talked about if you go to jail, you just...
Yeah, no, it was way before this.
Way before this, right? Yeah. Where you just try to like... Just rape
you
another
just
dude.
Jam it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's mush, you're not hard. You get a popsicle stick and you just mush it in. I believe that was way before.
Yeah, way before.
But
by this point, we had evolved beyond that.
Beyond just attempting to rape a person.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had evolved into jokes about how rodeos, prison
Prison rodeos. This is like 1988.
This is still a thing.
Yeah. This is 1988. This isn't like the fucking 40s.
This is still a thing today.
It is still a thing today. But if you go down to fucking Texas, you can find like 12 prison rodeos within like a 50-mile radius.
So you're probably wondering, what?
Yeah.
So prison rodeos is exactly what it sounds
what
like.
What do you think it is?
And it's not prisoners riding other prisoners, which would be hilarious.
Oh yeah, you get one giant prisoner and you add a small prisoner to it. Pretty fun.
You get like a mountain of a prisoner and then you're like, ride this dude for
and you,
eight
and you get
seconds.
Like a Warwick Davis prisoner.
Oh god damn,
you throw
that's
him
good.
On there. Oh my god, I would pay a lot of money.
All right. Rewind everything. Yeah, prison rodeos. Let's do this shit.
Yeah.
Because you know there's some midgets in prisons.
Yes.
And you know there's some big motherfuckers in prison.
Yeah, and I saw the Green Mile. That dude was fucking huge.
That dude was fucking huge.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a fucking small person trying to ride?
Yeah. Can we get Michael Clark Duncan, Dudley
RIP?
Moore.
Yeah. Oh,
a Dudley Moore level guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Riding Michael Clark Duncan.
Ah.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. But seriously, him bucking with
him
Dudley
bucking
Moore
with
on
a
top,
giant with a tiny dude.
And
on
Dudley
top.
Moore's like holding a martini because he's a rich fancy pants and has a top hat.
But he has a lot of like one liners.
Yeah,
like a lot of quips about being drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't know that they're still a thing.
They're still a thing.
And it's like you said, it's exactly what it sounds like. It is prisoners doing rodeo for your enjoyment, for the fucking people that live around there, for the county people that live around there.
Right.
To go watch the prisoners, it's fucking weird. That's weird.
I mean, they could be doing football, like in The Longest Yard.
That's right. There were prisoners in that, too.
They were 100% prisoners. Yeah. That's the whole point.
They could also just be like...
Although, in that, they're playing against the guards, which
is kind of fun.
Which is fun, but also weird. It's like if in the prison rodeo, again, they were riding, like, the guards.
Yeah.
Which would be very odd.
It is weird that in Longest Yard, nobody just stabbed every guard.
Exactly.
Because if I know everything about... If you're in
Oh, it's
jail
stabbing
for,
time.
Yeah, if you're in prison for life...
Oh, it's seven.
With no possibility of parole,
yeah,
you're killing guards. I would do that because what do you get? Death row? Death row?
You got nothing to lose.
A death row, you get isolated from everybody else, and you get to be
so
in there for 15 years.
Yeah,
yeah, way less rape, and you get a meal at the end of the tunnel.
That's true, and a good ass meal.
A good meal.
So last meal, go.
Last meal. All right, I'm gonna do a lot of shrimp because I'm allergic to shrimp. I'm gonna do lobster.
You just go crazy with
it. I'm gonna go crazy lobster because I'm allergic to it and I don't get to eat it that much. And octopus.
All seafood.
No, not all seafood. I'm going to do surf and turf.
Oh, surf and turf. Okay, okay.
I'm going to do some good filet mignon.
Oh, that's the shit right there.
Like a lot of filet mignon.
Fuck yeah.
If I can do like 4 pounds of filet mignon, that'd be great. Just
do it.
And then also like 4 lobster tails.
So your dead body just poop of everywhere.
Oh, just a exploding. Swollen a swollen grape of a man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also full of meat. I want to be like the Duke level of compacted bowel.
Yeah, yeah.
Just all the beef that I haven't had before. Fuck and then it. Also, I'm going to throw like just if I can get like 2 dozen tortillas in there and some salsa.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You go just tortillas and salsa, not chips?
Oh, no, I'm going to go tortillas. I'm going to go tortillas.
Interesting. Not chips. Okay.
I'm going to put
Are you wrapping the filet in the tortillas?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to wrap the filet in tortillas.
That makes a lot of sense.
With some salsa. And I'm also going to do some lobster in there. No. No cheese. No cheese.
Really?
No cheese. Just salsa.
Okay.
And I'm going to eat 24 tacos of filet mignon and lobster.
And lobster?
Yes.
I'm in, dude.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I can't think of anything better than that, actually. Oh, no. If I can put some chorizo in there, I've been doing some chorizo.
Three meat.
Let's throw some chorizo in there.
Three meat?
Yeah, three meat.
Yeah, at that point, throw some bacon and throw some, I don't know.
No. Come on. I don't want to be decadent.
You don't? Yeah. Well, it's
I
really
just want filet mignon, lobster tail, and chorizo.
Bacon
and tortillas.
Yeah, exactly, and tortillas.
And salsa. That's all I want.
Bacon's too hipster anyways.
Yeah. I get no sides. I should get some sides.
Get some mac and cheese or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just get like a weird, like a cuttlefish or something that's going to make me very stinky.
Or get some sushi as a side.
Yeah. Can I get sushi as a side?
Why not?
Sashimi.
Sashimi. There you go.
Yeah. I want 4 pounds of solid white albacore.
As a side. As a side dish.
I'm not going to lie. I can put that away.
Yeah.
I will do that.
I've seen him.
Yeah. I'll put that away.
That all you can eat sushi with this man is a fucking experience.
Anyway, Stir Crazy, they get out of the prison.
They get out
rodeo.
Of prison and they're
free. On the run.
They're good.
They're dressed like chickens at some point.
But the thing is, they're on the run, but then they're like, oh, you guys were falsely accused. So even though you broke out of prison, it's cool.
Yeah. At the end, they're like, yeah, it's fine. It's that fine. Old Brother Otto thing where like they get pardoned.
Yep.
But yeah,
pardoned by the president.
They're chickens at one point, right?
They are definitely chickens. That's much earlier in the film.
Much earlier. That's actually when they get framed. Yeah.
So that brings us to episode 62, 9 to 5. This is the female empowerment movie where we brought a couple of ladies on board to tell us how we were wrong about female empowerment stuff.
Yeah, we were way wrong.
9 to 5 is the movie where Dolly Parton is adorable. And
Lily Tomlin is hilarious. And Jane Fonda is very hot.
And very hot. And then Dabney Coleman is a piece of shit.
Dabney Coleman is a fucking badass piece of shit.
He's a badass.
This is Dabney Coleman's like 18th fucking
sexually
appearance.
Sexually harassing left and right as he does.
He's like, it's like his 18th appearance on the fucking podcast.
That's true.
Dabney Coleman became an actor. And he was like, I'm going to be an actor. And then he grew a mustache. And then he was like, I'm going to be a dickhead actor.
Yep.
And he played.
Actually, I think it was more he grew a mustache and every casting director in the world was like, you're the dickhead.
You're a dickhead, yeah. And then he's like, fine. And he played a dickhead in every fucking movie.
I have a mustache. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Everybody plays to their strengths. Dolly Parton, very cute.
Oh.
Very adorable.
Adorable, yeah.
I'm a big Lily Tomlin fan.
Yeah, she's fucking hilarious.
I wish she was
really
in more
talented.
Stuff. When I was a kid and I was very ill. I got very sick one time, and I stayed home, and I watched Beverly Hills.
You were a sickly child.
I was a sickly child, yes. I had, I'm pretty sure I had yellow fever.
You had the yellow fever, you had the gout, and you had the black plague, I think.
I had the palsy.
The palsy.
The palsy. They had to put me in an iron lung when I was a child.
You had the black plague, but then 1985 rolled around, and they decided that was no longer culturally appropriate, so.
I had to have the.
You had to have the brown plague after that. Yeah. So it was okay.
I had to have the African-American plague. Yeah. But I was a sickly child, but I do remember staying home and watching Beverly Hills Billies, the remake with Lily
Jules
Tomlin.
Jules Verne?
Like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
No, I was talking about fucking Ernest.
Oh, Verne.
Jim Varney.
Oh, yeah, Jim Varney. Yeah, he was
Well, he was Ernest, and he was also Jed Clampett.
Jed Clampett. He was also the Slinky Dog in Toy Story.
That's true as well.
Until he died after Toy Story 1, and they had three more Toy Story movies, and there was a Slinky Dog in all of them.
That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know who did that voice.
Pixar can go to hell. Yeah.
I don't know who did the voice for him, but anyway, James Varney, national treasure. But
he saved Christmas, goddammit.
Yeah, he did. He was also
every time you get a fucking Christmas gift, you thank Jim Varney, you son of a bitch.
He was scared stupid. He saved camp.
That's
he,
right.
He was slam dunk. But anyway, Lily Tomlin is what I was talking about.
Yeah, she's
great. She's in the Beverly Hillbillies, and she's fucking great in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's great in everything.
She is very great. And then also, Jane Fonda, very very attractive. Like, this level of Jane Fonda, this is like almost 50-year-old Jane Fonda.
Yeah, she's a little older. A
little older. Very hot. But they kidnap their boss.
That's true.
They kidnap their boss, Dabney Coleman, who was the best boss ever. And then a whole manner of hilarity ensues.
Yeah. A lot of dream sequences. A lot of, if I remember the episode correctly, a lot of Erica schooling us on what feminism is.
Yes, that's and right. A lot of, this was Erica and Emma, right?
This was Erica and Emma.
Yeah.
This was actually the episode that people afterwards were like, hey, are you and Erica okay?
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing about Erica. This is one of those things. Erica, if you're listening, I love you.
Yeah,
this is one of those things about Erica that I've heard people
for sure.
People say, and this episode was the first time that I heard it, and they were like, you know what's funny is that Francisco will say some shit, and Erica doesn't say anything. Eric will say some shit, and Erica will destroy Eric.
Yeah.
She is like out for blood with you.
That's right.
And this is a perfect personification of that.
Yeah.
Erica
it's fucking hilarious.
It's very funny. She's on top of you for everything you say.
Oh, I know. And she should be.
She should be, yeah.
I'm a raging misogynist.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I love it. I love when Erica's on the episode. I love when we can just
really good episode. And it's true. She really puts a lot of things into perspective.
She does. She brings a lot of actual knowledge and like perspective and stuff.
But the movie's really funny.
The movie's really good.
Yeah, it's really watch funny. It's really good. And it's got four of the most charismatic cute
ladies.
Ladies and Dabney Coleman.
And Dabney Coleman, who's great.
He's a lady, of course.
He's a lady.
If I met him, I would curse.
He can identify however he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Episode 63, we're going to end it with, speaking of female empowerment, remember that movie where a lady grabs a dude's dick and just pulls the
clean
shit out
up?
Of it?
Yeah. Pulls it as hard as she possibly can.
It's Porky's. We're talking about Porky's. This is a movie, again, set
Came
back for this one. It's set in the 1950s, because obviously it is.
Yes.
And it's about a bunch of dudes trying to get laid.
This is one of my favorite fucking
comedies.
That's
fucking it, dude.
Oh, my God. Everything in Porky's is a prank on somebody else.
Yep.
It is so ridiculous. It is. You're right. It's based in the 50s in Florida. And so it's got a little bit of racism in it, but mostly it has a lot of dick jokes,
yeah,
and a lot of pussy jokes, and a lot of tit jokes, and a lot of fat guy jokes. It's about all these kids are trying to get laid. They prank each other. Then they go to Porky's, which is a hick bar on the river.
On the river.
It's on the river.
It is fucking on the river. You know how you know that? Because later with boats and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways. But they're also all like 16.
Oh, yeah, they're young.
And back then, they were like, drinking age is 18.
That's right.
Which is funny.
Yes.
It's funny when we watch this because they were like, it's a bunch of 16-year-old kids coming in here drinking. And they were like, yeah, you could just do that back then.
Oh, yeah.
You just be a 16-year-old kid and sneak into a bar. Nowadays, you have to be like a 20-year-old kid. And
sneaking nothing. I've heard many a stories from people of my parents' generation where when they were like 14, they just went in.
You just went into bars.
Nobody gave a shit.
No, nobody cared. What are you carding for? There's money to be made on this shit. Nowadays, there's laws.
Laws.
50s had no laws. And we learned that because Porky's brother is the sheriff.
That's right.
And he teaches them right away about laws by smashing out their fucking lights, smashing out their windshield until these fucking kids got to get revenge on Porky.
Fuck yeah, they do.
Also, they are trying to get laid all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Look, the revenge on Porky, they kind of...
It's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, everything sure,
else,
why not?
It's
but
just trying
the getting to laid? The getting laid is
The getting laid is number one. Also, it's got Kim Cattrall as Lassie.
This is a girl.
This is a scene that I jerked off to as a kid a lot. And we talk about it in the episode, too.
You do, actually. Yeah. I remember this very clearly because you were like, oh, yeah, I jerked off to that
a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, fair.
Fair, yeah. Fair. Where she, yeah. They're like, she's laughing. He's like, why? What are you? And then he takes her up. He has sex with her, and she howls like a dog.
That's right.
He puts a dirty jock strap in her mouth. She's still into it. It's where a lot of my fetishes come from that.
You're like, yeah, jock strap, mouth, yeah.
A lot of my fetishes come from howling, Kim Cattrall and Porky's. Yeah. Yeah.
Acting like a dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. You're hitting nerves.
I'm just saying.
The voice is also very fucking hilarious. It's got a lot of hilarious male nudity in it.
Yep. This is a classic, hasn't aged very well, don't care.
Don't care. It's very funny. Don't care.
Very funny.
By the end of the day, they get one up on old Porky.
They do get one up on old Porky, only to come back in Porky's 2, the one where Porky is not in it.
Not in it, because there's a play to be had. There's a Shakespeare play. It's fucking weird.
We don't talk about that one, but the point is... Fuck that guy.
I don't know. Or Porky's 3, Porky's Revenge.
He comes back.
Finally. He comes back with a riverboat. Yeah. Yeah. And they're in basketball now because back in the 50s, basketball teams are white.
Of course they were, dude.
They were all 5'6" dudes.
Yeah, obviously.
It was about the fundamentals.
It's all about the fundamentals.
It was like male WNBA.
It's the WNBA, which everyone loves, clearly, because that's why
it's all fundamentals.
It gets, so many views.
Before black people could play professional basketball, it was just male WNBA.
Rough.
It was 5'10" guys playing the fundamentals, and they were the heroes of the country.
That's also why no one cared about the basketball until like
Dr. Yeah, exactly. That's why. Yeah. That's why he wasn't
until Bill Russell and Dr. J. Yeah, no one give a shit
until
about
the 70s
basketball.
When Dr. J came out and they were like, oh, these guys are incredibly talented and athletic.
Yeah. Until then, it was all golf and football. Yeah. And probably car racing, I'm guessing. And horse racing, too.
It was all about the haircuts, I think, back then.
Yeah.
It was all about, like, this guy's got a very nice haircut, this kid.
Yeah. He's an upstanding youth.
Yeah.
With his...
This white kid from Kansas City is the best basketball player I've ever seen because his haircut is perfectly square.
Look at him shoot the 10-footer. Yeah. Oh, look at that. He shot another 10-footer. Footer. Very good. Very good.
Fuck that time in America. That sounds so boring.
But at the same time, you had...
you were shooting Nazis. You were shooting Nazis,
Nazis and...
The least of all the boring things, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Shooting
exactly.
Nazis in the face. That least of all.
I mean, that's probably why they were all like 5'6 and only knew fundamentals, because all the like 6-foot dudes were
shooting Nazis.
Shooting Nazis. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank God for them.
Thank God for the dudes shooting
the
Nazis.
Fucking Germans were tall dudes. Yeah. We needed tall dudes to shoot Nazis. Nazis.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, Porky's.
Porky's is great.
Porky's is great. Very funny. A lot of people laughing at jokes in the movie.
Yes.
Which you talk about.
That is actually.
Which is very funny.
There's a lot of them. There is 30 minutes of this movie is just people
laughing
at
the
jokes
the
rest
in the
of
movie.
The jokes in the movie. Which is an interesting.
It's an interesting way to go.
It's a very podcast way to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But very funny. Very funny to watch.
Very funny. That's the end of today's episode. We're going to be back next week. Until then, I want to remind everybody to follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook, Podomatic, iTunes, Google, wherever you get your podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, whatever.
Yeah. We still have movies that we haven't talked about.
That's right.
Once we're done with the list, we're going to do a wish list.
We've already said we will do The Goonies.
But if you have an 80s movie that you want us to cover, that you want us to talk about, then email us, Instagram,
blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com, or
tweet us, whatever.
I know usually you just DM girls you want to fuck.
Yeah.
Or guys you want to fuck.
Sexy people. Yeah.
Sexy people. Sexy men or women or whatever that you want
to
fuck.
Yeah, it's easy to message on Instagram. Just message us on Instagram.
Yeah, just message us.
Until then, though.
Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.